All right, everybody, welcome to another week of the Doe and 5-0 show. Happy New Year.
Happy New Year. Happy. Did you have a good New Year?
I fell asleep at like 9:30.
You stayed up way past my bedtime.
Party animal? I am not. All right. Well, thanks for joining us for a brand new year. We're coming up almost, Joe, on our year anniversary here. When did we start? Like March or April of last year, I think. So
did we really?
We've been doing this for a little bit now.
Huh.
Yeah.
You'd think we'd get better at it. And we have not.
Somebody said we set the bar too high with something a long time ago. I don't remember what it was, but whatever that bar was.
Think it was the skits?
I don't know.
I don't know. Huh.
Nobody's ever told me I set the bar high for anything in my life. So kind of.
I was going to say, I'm at a loss. I have no idea. Our last two shows I thought were really good. I really enjoyed watching both those. The Sasquatch one, your editing was amazing. That was, I laughed so hard every time I showed. You got to see this part. Just skip to the end. You got to see this.
We've had some pretty good feedback over the last couple of weeks on the last couple of shows. Kind of hit some type of a stride there. So it's all going downhill for here. So
yeah, we can't do any
better.
Got
a new studio here we're sitting in today. So
yeah.
We'll see how it goes. So. We're going to go ahead and kick things off with the news, Joe, where a woman was arrested after trying to pass a dog's urine as her own. Oops. On Monday, a woman was arrested after she tried to pass off dog urine as her own to her probation officer. Police responded to Bell County, that's in Kentucky, probation and parole office, and spoke with officers who advised that Julie Miller, age 30, was at the office for her regular probation visit. As part of her supervision, Miller was asked for a drug screen. One officer told another that Miller had sneaked in a sample of urine to pass it off as her own. An officer asked Miller if the urine was hers and if she admitted that it was not and that it was actually her dog's urine.
Would you have ever admitted that? I mean, it's like, no, it wasn't. I got caught. I apologize.
I'm trying to picture this. I mean, how was she collecting the dog's urine to begin with?
I mean, my dog's there. a little shy. I mean, if he's pissing and I put something there, he's going to stop. What the hell are you doing?
Desperate times call for desperate measures.
Maybe they just got done making love.
Well, she admitted to the officers that she brought it in because she knew she would fail a drug screen. Miller told officers she had recently used meth. Miller was arrested and taken to Bell County Detention Center, where she is charged with tampering with physical evidence. She was also served a probation violation and with trafficking in a controlled substance warrant.
Wow.
Yeah. Well, I mean, you got to give her an A for effort if she was willing to squat down there with her pooch. And
She didn't have one friend.
That
wasn't high on something.
And world of bizarre here, Joe. A performance artist ate a banana that was duct taped to a wall. We'll put the picture up there for everybody to see. The most talked about artwork at Miami's Art Basel that sold earlier this week for, holy cow, $120,000. A banana taped to a wall. $120,000. That's duct tape.
This is in Florida.
I don't know where this is.
I think you said.
Oh, it is Miami. So this should have been in Florida. Oh, well.
No, it's all right. But I'm not surprised.
Yeah. $120,000 for it's not even a good looking banana.
And is that duct tape?
Yeah. Can't duct it.
And who the hell paid? Why?
Well, regardless, the gallery spokesman, Buttafuoco, told the Miami Herald that Dutena and another Buttafuoco did not destroy the artwork because the banana is the idea. The controversial piece, called The Comedian, was created by Buttafuoco, an Italian artist who had also entertained art lovers from around the globe in 2017 with his piece titled America, which was an 18-karat gold toilet.
We did a story on that because somebody ripped it off.
The $6 million throne was stolen from England. So yeah, we covered that a while back. So this guy just has all kinds of artsy...
Wait, but he ate the banana? Does he still get his $120,000 in?
Yeah, I don't know. He said that the spectacle is as much a part of the work as the banana itself.
What?
Yeah.
That's... What an idiot. I don't know who's dumber, the artist or the guy who paid $120,000. The guy who paid it.
Yeah, the artist reported that no clear instructions for buyers on whether the bananas start to decompose or not. So I guess they decided to eat it. I don't know. Bizarre. Sorry, folks. That was supposed to be a Florida story. We still got plenty of Florida coming for you.
Yeah, it doesn't matter. I just Florida just bombards our newsfeed.
120 grand for a gross-looking banana. Wow. Sweet.
Wow.
Teen accused of using a remote-controlled car to smuggle in more than $106,000 worth of narcotics. Agents for the U.S. Customs and Border Control Border Protection Agency stationed in San Diego, California, saw a person with duffel bags walking along the secondary border wall. The wall. Other agents responded to the scene and found the suspect hiding in thick brush near the border. When an agent approached the boy, he had a remote-controlled car and two large duffel bags in his possession. The agent questioned the boy and searched his bags, discovering he is a 16-year-old U.S. citizen. The agent found 50 packages of meth and arrested the teen on drug smuggling charges. Agency said that the 55.84-pound bundle had an estimated value of $106,096.
16. He could have bought some artwork in Florida.
Almost. It's so about 14 grand short. Bananas are expensive down there.
It's a good damn banana.
They must not drink smoothies in Florida. I don't know.
So he smuggled it from across the border, obviously. Mm-hmm. Only 16 years old.
Yeah.
And what kind of drug was it?
Meth.
Meth.
Yeah.
The classiest of the classy drugs. Wow. And he was hiding in thick brush.
Yeah.
How?
I mean, there's the bags there. Look, that's...
Wow.
It's got quite a bit there.
But that car, that remote control car, is pretty big.
Yeah.
How was he hiding?
I don't know.
I think he was, like, hiding behind a couple blades of grass or something. Idiot. 16 years old, though. How sad.
Yeah, that's pretty sad. Four underage men accused of drinking while operating a horse and buggy. We can all rest a bit easier today after Michigan police helped clean up their streets. Four Michigan men between the ages of 19 and 20 are facing charges after police allegedly caught them operating a horse and buggy with open cans of beer. And what would have been the slowest moving DUI ever. The Gladwin County police allegedly spotted them operating a horse and buggy with open containers of alcohol after responding to reports that the men were intoxicated and tossing the beer cans from the buggy. After sheriff deputies located the buggy, another motorist positively ID'd them. Good job, dude.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure that's it.
When the police asked for their names and ages, they allegedly provided false information.
Oh, that always works. They'd never get caught doing that.
Hell, they all look the same.
They do.
Investigators later identified them as 20-year-old Levi Mast, 19-year-old Andrew Zook, 20-year-old Joseph Miller, and 19-year-old Joseph Troyer. According to police, all four suspects were intoxicated and had several open and unopened containers of alcohol. All four men have been charged with felony obstruction of justice, disorderly conduct, and received civil infractions for minors in possession of alcohol. They're being held at Gladwin County Jail on a cash bond, surety bond of $3,500 smackaroos.
Other than them throwing the cans out the buggy, it's actually kind of funny. But they shouldn't litter.
I shouldn't litter. Yeah,
I'm more bothered by that.
No tickets about littering? Come on, man. That's why Michigan's a crap hole. Run by the Democrats. Where's my sign? That's right. That's a
case. In case you want to get hold of 50, there you go.
It's a valid working phone number.
It is. Call often.
That's all we got for the news this week. Stay tuned for This Week in Florida.
In Florida, the people are crazy. This is a fact that everyone knows. They're naked, they're drunk, they like to throw Pop-Tarts. Now they break in and suck on your toes. What the hell is with Florida? Where all crazy shit seems to come from. A week won't pass by without lots of stories proving that Florida's dumb.
All right, everybody, welcome to This Week in Florida. We're going to start off this week out of Columbia County, Joe, where a meth-fueled, mud-covered, naked Florida man shakes off two taser shots, bites the canine, and fistfights another officer, and then spits on another one on his way to patrol car.
I'm shocked this is in Florida.
Partay. How did you ring in year? Ring in your new year. Most of us did some celebrating with friends and family or joined in public celebrations. However, 38-year-old Donald Watts from Columbia County, Florida, did something a little bit differently. Officers responded to a call of a man doing methamphetamine. When they showed up, this guy was butt naked, except for being covered in mud. The officers were commended for not shooting him right there on the spot due to his erratic behavior. Before the...
Good job!
To no one's surprise, the subject was not complying to commands and ran into a nearby mobile home. He proceeded to come out of the door swinging, resulting in a fist fight with one of the officers. That led to two different taser deployments that he shrugged off as to be expected from a mud-covered, naked Florida man. He ran off into the woods, and the police decided to call for some backup. Upon the arrival of backup, which included a police canine, they proceeded to follow him. Foot pursuit ensued. The subject running was in full primal mode and was waiting anxiously for them. When the dog tracked him down, he jumped on it, put a chokehold on it, and bit its ear.
Oh, that poor dog.
The dog managed to fight back and bit him on the head, and the officers were then able to subdue the subject. Just to ensure he saved off one additional charge, he did spit on an officer as they led him away to the police car.
Wow.
Where he remains incarcerated.
Good thing he didn't have a Pop-Tart.
Yes. Although he probably would have missed if he would have thrown it.
They always do.
Florida man punches gas pumps, car wash, and tree after an argument with his girlfriend. Out of Collier County, Florida, when deputies got Hunter Thomas booked into the Naples Jail Center, they said he began punching a concrete wall, according to the arrest report.
Oh, that's not going to give.
Yeah, according to the arrest report reviewed by the Miami Herald, it wasn't his first fist punch of the night. Deputy said gas pumps first got the brunt of his blows, followed by equipment inside of a drive-through car wash. By the time the deputies arrived at the mobile gas station in the evening of December 21st, Thomas had allegedly already thrown his hands at a nearby tree as well. They found him sitting in a curb, smoking a cigarette outside of his car with the doors open. Inside the car, they found his girlfriend. Deputy said Thomas claimed he had gotten into a heated argument with his girlfriend that caused him so much anger, he took it out on the pumps, the car wash, and the nearby tree.
And the cement wall.
Shockingly, investigators said that his breath reeked of alcohol.
What?
He allegedly told them that he and his girlfriend had been drinking at a Christmas party earlier in the evening. He was promptly handcuffed after allegedly shouting over another deputy trying to question his girlfriend. When she's finally able to speak with authorities, deputies said that she confirmed Thomas' story that they had been arguing. Thomas bonded out of jail the next day, court date set for middle part of January.
What would anger him so much to punch things that have no give to them?
I don't know. That's
They should tell us that stuff.
Yeah.
Or we should just make something up.
Yeah. Florida man has hand partially severed after firework goes off inside of his car. Out of Deltona, Florida, a Central Florida man is recovering after a firework exploded in a vehicle outside of his home in Volusia County. Emergency officials said they received a call that stated someone's hand was partially severed after a firework blew up on it. When authorities arrived, they said a man was on the ground holding his friend Corey Wall's arm, which was bleeding profusely. Deputies said they applied a tourniquet to the arm, and Wall was taken to the hospital where he was conscious and alert. Authorities said his friend, who was driving the vehicle where the incident happened, could not hear from his left ear. According to authorities, all he remembered was lighting a cigarette and then hearing a loud explosion.
Bullshit.
When deputies inspected the car, they said they found remnants of a red torch lighter that was blown apart and several fragments inside of the victim's hand. Officials said the windshield was also shattered and the driver's side window was blown out. Man, they must have some serious fireworks in there. Officials believe Wall pulled out a projectile from a firework and placed it in his right hand and then proceeded to light the fuse. Hospital officials told authorities the victim's hand would likely need to be amputated.
Oh.
Good news for that guy. A GoFundMe page has been set up to pay for his medical expenses.
Oh, jeez.
The page says Wall's friend was driving and flicked a cigarette out the window, but it flew back into the vehicle and landed in the back seat, causing the fireworks to go off. We've seen a similar story like this before where, cocaine or meth blew into some guy's vehicle like that?
It was magical.
The damnest thing is blowing into people's cars.
I've
never had this problem myself, but hey. Florida couple arrested for selling tickets to heaven.
You know, you arrest the people they sold them to because they're idiots.
A couple in Florida, Tito and Amanda Watts, were arrested a few days ago for selling golden tickets to heaven to hundreds of people. They sold the tickets on the street for $99.99 per ticket, told the buyers the tickets were made from solid gold, and that each ticket reserved the buyer a spot in heaven. Simply present the ticket at the pearly gates, and you are in.
How many did they sell?
If
they
sold, it says hundreds. Yeah, hundreds of
people. Wow, that's really funny.
So they sold the tickets to hundreds of people. Tito Watts said in his police statement, "I do not care what police say. The tickets are solid gold, and it was Jesus who gave them to me behind the KFC and told me to sell them so I could get me some money to go to outer space."
I knew Jesus loved KFC.
Who doesn't love KFC?
Everybody does.
The Colonel.
Yep. And Jesus.
Yeah. Jesus. Oh, Jesus. I met an alien named Stevie who said if I got cash together... I almost got through it. I met an alien named Stevie who said if I got the cash together, he would take me and my wife on his flying saucer to his planet that is made entirely of drugs. You should arrest Jesus because he is the one that gave me the golden tickets. I'm willing to wear a wire and set Jesus up.
Wow.
In her police statement...
What a traitor.
In her police statement, Amanda Watts said, I just wanted to leave Earth and go to space and do drugs. I did not do anything. Tito sold the golden tickets to heaven. I just watched. Police said they confiscated over $10,000 in cash, drug paraphernalia, and surprise, surprise, a baby alligator.
You're kidding! What is it with these people? That's awesome. I wish I'd known some more of these stories before I wrote that song.
Well, speaking of your song, here's the final Florida story that inspired your masterpiece for this week. Florida police are on the lookout for a criminal toe sucker. That's right, a toe sucker. Out of Bradenton, Florida, Florida police are warning residents to be on the lookout for a criminal who has a thing for toes. Actually, it's more to the point, sucking on a subject's toes. A Bradenton man, sound asleep in the early morning in the hours on Christmas Eve, woke up to find a strange man sucking on his toes.
Can you imagine waking up? What the hell is going on?
Well, according to the police report, the man's toes were in the stranger's mouth when he was awakened from his slumber. When asked by the victim what the man was doing, the stranger replied that he was there to suck on some toes. The victim immediately began throwing punches at the stranger in an attempt to remove the man from the home. During the melee, the toe-sucking bandits claimed to have a gun and tried to fondle the victim's genital area. The suspect fled the area after being pummeled by the victim. Not before he punched out the man's front window and broke the windshield of his car after climbing atop the vehicle. Police say the suspect was a bald male between the ages of 20 and 25, stands about 5 feet 11 and 160 pounds. If apprehended, the man will be charged with felony mischief. The stories just seem to get more bizarre by the week. Every week I'm thinking, we're never going to top the stories from last week, and then boom.
But so the guy's house is obviously not secure.
Yeah.
And he's a pretty sound sleeper because... and the guy broke out his front window, jumped on top of his car. Did he exit that window then, I assume? And then broke out his windshield, which isn't... That's not easy to do, is it?
No, one would think not.
I'd have been in shock. It's like, but he pummeled him. That's funny.
Yeah.
That's good shit.
Well, that's all I got for the weirdness in Florida this week.
Thank you, Florida. Thank you for everybody. Hey, how many people sent us that story?
Yeah, we got a lot this week.
We got a lot from that. A lot of people like that story.
Yeah, we appreciate it when you guys send us the stories, whether it's through the Doe and 5-0 page or our personal pages. We even have people tagging us on like major news sites for stories to cover. So keep them coming, guys. We appreciate it. It definitely makes.
I saw that message from Tori that nasty fruit, that durian fruit, whatever, will be here for the next show.
I did not see that.
Yeah. Isn't that exciting? Thanks, Tori.
How exciting.
Yep. We'll bring a bucket for Lee because we know he's going to need it. 3 yards away, they say you can smell it as soon as you open that up. We're going to do that outside, okay?
Open it in your bedroom, so we're going to open it.
We're going outside for that one. I don't need that shit lingering around.
All right, well, that's all we got for this week in Florida. Stay tuned for this week, Political Garbage. All right, everybody, welcome to this week in Political Garbage. Got a story to touch on, maybe a couple-ish. They kind of relate to the same thing. Obviously, there is I guess you want to call it a controversial missile strike that recently occurred over in Iran. And the celebrities here in the United States are obviously popping off because it was performed by President, by the order of President Trump. Mm-hmm. So now their hearts are going out to...
Iran.
I guess Iran and the Taliban.
And they're the terrorists, yes.
The terrorists, the people that want to kill us and wipe us off the face of the earth. So, Rose McGowan, you actually brought this to my attention, Joe. I had not seen this. I had to use the Google machine to figure it out.
That's pretty pretty fired up after reading
Rose McGowan,
this one.
Who has been irrelevant for at least 20 years now, to the best of my knowledge.
Who is it? I don't even know who it is.
I couldn't even tell you anything that she's been in, to be honest with you.
Huh.
I kind of vaguely remember her name, maybe back in the 90s.
She doesn't look that old.
Yeah. Well, regardless, Rose McGowan had a tweet that apologized on behalf of the United States to Iran.
I'm glad she did that for us.
For disrespecting their flag and their people in the wake of an airstrike that killed the country's top general, was not anti-American, according to the actress. I do not support Iran over America. I want America to be better, according to McGowan. Her tweet read, "Dear #Iran, the USA has disrespected your country, your flag, your people. 52% of us humbly apologize." Oh, I'd like to see that 52%. "We want peace with your nation. We are being held hostage by a terrorist regime. We do not know how to escape. Please do not kill us."
Please do not kill us.
The head of Iran's elite force and mastermind of its regional security, General Qasem Soleimani. That's right.
Soleimani.
he was killed in a U.S. airstrike early Friday. The attack has caused regional tensions to soar. McGowan then faced outrage over Friday's Twitter post, with some suggesting she go ahead and move to Iran. McGowan acknowledged that her tweet was a bit unusual. "I woke up and stupidly looked at Twitter. I was going to the bathroom and I was like, what?" She added that she doesn't believe the governments of either Iran or the U.S., "so I just thought I would do something a little strange or unusual. Bloodshed should be avoided if you can," she said. "And I just kind of thought, what if I take a really bizarre way around this? A very strange thought, I understand."
What?
McGowan, age 46, who is known for her role in the screen... That's where I saw her run. In the Scream movie, and was one of the earliest of dozens of women to accuse Hollywood producer Harvey Weinstein of sexual misconduct, making her a major finger... finger.
We want to give her a major finger, but...
major figure in the hashtag MeToo movement. Jury selection is scheduled to start this week based on that. None of that's got anything to do with what we're talking about here, so... Yet another celebrity voicing their opinion about things they don't know anything about,
right.
Honestly.
Right.
You know, she's 46, so she should definitely be old enough to remember, I don't know, Desert Storm, either time.
You know, and she said she saw a tweet and she just ran with it. You know damn well that anything you see... You've got to wait to see the rest of it to see. It's never, you don't get all the information.
Well, continuing on with this, our favorite douchebag's in the headlines again.
Oh, he's such a dick.
After the Soleimani death, Colin Kaepernick decries U.S. terrorist attacks against black and brown people.
Yes, that's what it was all about. He is so perceptive.
Yeah.
Is he trying that hard to be relevant?
Yeah. Former NFL player Colin Kaepernick on Saturday accused the United States of targeting minorities at home and abroad, just days after the administration ordered a drone strike that killed the Iranian general, Qasem Soleimani.
Wait, but Soleimani's not a minority there.
No, he's not.
What,
listen, so you're overthinking it. You're trying to think logically.
Silly me.
There's nothing new about American terrorist attacks against black and brown people for the expansion of American imperialism, he tweeted.
Yes, that was he is good.
In a separate tweet, Kaepernick decried American imperialism and its policing and plundering of the non-white world. America has always sanctioned and besieged black and brown bodies, both at home and abroad, he wrote.
You realize that there are no black people in our military, right?
American militarism is a weapon wielded by American imperialism to enforce its policing and plundering of the non-white world. It's unclear what specifically Kaepernick was referring to. No shit.
It's unclear to everybody.
But his comments came amid left-leaning criticism of President Trump's decision to kill Soleimani, who led the elite Kurds force with the Islamic Revolutionary Guard Corps. The U.S. government has long considered him a terrorist.
Wait, Kaepernick or, or Polish sausage?
Yeah.
Or, wait, what is it?
Kaepernick's agent did not immediately respond to Fox News' request for comment.
You know what he's doing?
He's probably going, running for the border.
How am I going to... Kaepernick, shut up!
So, this guy, he just... And I'm not going to read any more of the article. It's just... Idiocracy. Him and this girl and your Rosie O'Donnells and your Joy... Whatever the hell her name is. Bayard.
I just said
anybody that's on
that
stupid show, The View. And, I mean, what are these people thinking? Why, are they really that ignorant? I don't get it.
Yes. The answer is yes.
So...
But Kaepernick, I don't understand him. He had the world at it. Well, actually, he still does because Nike is.
Yeah, they're succumbing to hit all of his wants and needs and demands. So.
Yeah.
But I mean, what the hell do these people think is going to happen if we don't act upon the violence, which was coming to us first, by the way, for those of you that weren't familiar.
This has happened before, and we had other presidents that just kind of sugarcoated over it, didn't do anything about it, and it just showed how weak we were. But that president did give them a lot of money, so
yeah,
that worked out well.
Good job. So yes. I don't know what the hell these people are thinking. We're seeing an escalation almost by the day, it seems like, here in this country. And I'm not even so much as worried about what's going on in other places across the world as what's happening here on our home front, to where we may live through another civil war before it's all said and done. I think it's going to be the shortest war in history because, you know, these people that are talking, you know, like idiots, what the hell are they going to bring? Are they going to bring their freaking gluten-free recipes and their dildos and bongs? And
their frappes and Pop-Tarts?
Don't bring that shit to a gunfight. You're going to lose, okay? You're going to lose. So just sit back and shut up. You don't have to agree with what's going on, but you don't have to sit here and make an ass out of yourself for the whole world to see either, like we do every week.
Yeah, I was going to say, why are they exempt from our fun?
I just... Oh my gosh. So all this is never going to stop. Excuse me. And if Trump wins the next election, it's going to be 4 more years of the same boo-hoo for me because I'm not getting my way. The rest of us, you know.
And what's going to happen if he doesn't win? Now, are the normally, like when Obama was in there, conservatives would, there's always the Obama jokes. It's always been jokes about it. But I didn't see any rallies or parades or anything like that. But has what the Democrats have been doing with all this silly shit, have they changed the game? So if Trump doesn't get reelected, are the conservatives now going to do all the same stuff that the Democrats have been doing the last 3 years? Or are they just going to say, yeah, it's just not worth it, and just wait for the next 4 years? But honestly, I don't see Trump not winning. And that's where I think the Civil War could come in.
Yeah.
Because if he doesn't win, and the people that are conservatives have the guns, and you know, anyone that says the military is against Trump, I don't believe that. I haven't talked to anybody in the military that's against Trump.
Came across an interesting piece the other day because we saw where, you know, the Democrats, when they lost, how they wanted to abolish the Electoral College, right?
Right.
Because that's how Hillary lost. For all the people that fell asleep in your civics class, there are 3,141 counties in the United States of America. Trump won 3,084 of them. Clinton, 57. There are 62 counties in New York State. Trump won 46 of those. Hillary, 16. Hillary won the popular vote by approximately 1.5 million votes. In the five counties that encompass New York City, the Bronx, Brooklyn, Manhattan, Richmond, and Queens, Clinton received well over 2 million more votes than President Trump. Well, than candidate Trump. Clinton only had four of those counties. Trump won Richmond. Therefore, those five counties alone more than accounted for Clinton winning the popular vote of the entire nation.
That's why there's an Electoral College.
These five counties comprise 319 square miles. United States is comprised of 3,797,000 square miles. When you have a country that encompasses almost 4 million square miles of territory, it would be absolutely ludicrous to even suggest that the vote of those who inhabit a mere 319 square miles should dictate the outcome of a national election. Large, densely populated Democratic cities such as New York, Chicago, Los Angeles, and Detroit don't and should not speak for the rest of the country.
Aren't all those places doing poorly?
And this, children, is why you have an Electoral College. It's the safety net so that everyone's vote counts. And we'd actually talked about this probably a long time ago. We had an article about the Electoral College, and I don't know which one of those batshit crazy people were talking about trying to get rid of at the time. But, you know, we associated it with, like, you know, California especially. Obviously, New York's they've got a lot of stake in it, and look, you've all got a phone in front of your face, a laptop, a tablet, something. just look up how these places, how Chicago, how, you know, the Bronx, how Detroit, how New Orleans, these are all run by the Democrats, and see how they've, and I'm not just talking about the last few years. I'm talking about decades worth of damage, and it's getting worse and worse and worse. Go back a few weeks ago, we had that pretty lengthy piece done on the state of Los Angeles County alone, right?
Oh, yeah.
The drug problems there. And, you know, you got them worried about banning freaking straws, and then they're doing these pop-up tent cities where it's legal to inject freaking meth and heroin into their bodies.
Right, right.
So, obviously, their priorities are completely jacked up. And I don't even know at this point how you're going to reverse the damage that's been done there, because they've got, especially Los Angeles, they've got a hell of an uphill battle against them to try and clean up the streets.
I don't see how that ever gets fixed.
I don't either. I really don't, so... luckily, they sit on that fault line, so, you know, maybe they'll just be a natural earthquake, and they can be their own island somewhere. So, that's all I got for this week in political garbage.
You know what we didn't hit is that that church in Texas.
Yes.
We should have hit on that.
Well, we can talk about that.
I don't have all the facts, but so a gunman went into that church, started firing at people, but... people in this church were armed. Somebody shot the guy in the head. and yet people were angry about that.
Yeah, so bad guy with a gun enters a church. I'm trying to pull up so I can get some actual facts for you guys before we start talking here. It was one day last week, basically inside of a Texas church, a man... pistol-packing churchgoer captured a live-streaming gunning down of a man who opened fire inside of a Texas church on Sunday morning, killed two members of the congregation. Jack Wilson, a 71-year-old former reserve deputy, took out the shotgun-wielding suspect with a single shot to the head during services at a West Freeway Church of Christ in Fort Worth. The guy doesn't see himself as a hero. I'm not going to go into all that. So basically, bad guys enter the church, open fire. Unfortunately, two people perished due to that, but due to the quick actions of this gentleman here.
It could have been dozens.
One swift shot to the forehead, and the threat was over. We've seen controversy about that. I've talked to even people here in our community. A lot of the churches here in our area have security teams in place. Some of those security teams believe in having the firearm. Some of them do not.
What do they do? What do they do if they don't have the firearms?
Yeah, I don't.
Somebody goes in, gets in there with a gun.
It's really sad that the country has come to this, right? I mean, you can't even go to a place of worship now and feel safe.
And, yeah, that is sad.
And, you know, if you're a church, my father-in-law's a pastor. He wants his doors to be open at all times for people to come in and feel at home and
right.
You know, bring their burdens to the church. And now you've got to worry about locking your doors and... monitoring who's coming in and out, and
that is truly sad.
You know, I remember it's been many years ago. It was around Christmas time. Our kids were in a Christmas play, like a manger scene type play, mm-hmm. there at the church, and I was at work, but my boss allowed me to leave to go to the church to watch the play and then come back. So I went there in my patrol car and in my full uniform, and I walk in. And, you know, tried to be indiscreet as I can because it was kind of already going on. I didn't want to interrupt anything and didn't think much about it. And after it was over, I kind of hung out for a minute just to say hi to everybody. And my father-in-law said, you know, Lee, I didn't really know how to feel when you walked in there with your gun on your hip.
Safe?
And, yeah. And I'm like, well, you know, I'm a cop, and when I'm in uniform, I wear my gun.
Yeah, it's a good idea.
So he wasn't upset about it. It's kind of a weird feeling for him, I guess. But I get it. But he doesn't live in the same type of violent, you know, daily violence that we do. So, but yeah, it.
But you know, like for that guy in Florida, or I always want to say Florida, in Texas. You can say, well, if nobody had guns, it would never happen. But the bad guy would have gotten a gun because the guns are there. And all these guys that had guns legally wouldn't have had guns.
Yeah.
So the guy would have gotten away with it. And I'm weird about guns. I won't carry a gun. I fired. I, of course, I was in the Army. But I don't feel weird when I see, like, if you're carrying a gun, I actually feel better. Yeah. But
so this and I'm not going to blow up this guy's face or give him any recognition, the guy that killed the two people. Mm-hmm. But basically he had a long rap sheet. He had multiple arrests on his record. He had, you know, he's undergoing mental evaluations ongoing for many years. He was not to be in possession of any firearms. So I guess he decided to break these very strict gun laws. And bad people are going to do bad things. That's why police exist.
Right.
I mean, and then we're going to get off on another tangent about gun control. But I'm just, this is a perfect example of it. This guy is a convicted felon. He had no rights to any firearms legally. And yet he had them anyway.
Right. So, and that's how it's going to go.
So thank goodness for the gentleman that was armed and ready inside the church. 71-year-old Jack Wilson.
You don't, tell you what, if you're going to pull a gun in a church, don't do it in Texas.
Of all places.
Do it in California. You're safe.
They sleep with their guns in Texas. So, well, that's all we got for this week in Political Garbage. I know we kind of got off on a few different topics there this week, but kind of have several things to, I guess, touch base on. So, I appreciate everybody tuning in, and we'll see you guys next week. Take care.
Bye. I've been sent to spread the message. God bless Texas.